Wake up weekday mornings, L.I. in the A.M. with Jay Oliver. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 5s. And A Better Life with Dr. Sanjay Gupta on Suffolk County's news and information leader. 103.9 L.I. News Radio.
Well, I say we end this extravaganza in fine fashion. Former New York City Mayor, His Honor himself, Mr. Rudy Giuliani, graces the airwaves, and we appreciate it very much. Sir, it is a pleasure. First time right here on LI News Radio. Jay Oliver, Jeff Geo, great to have you.
Very nice to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, just as a sidebar, and I know you're as big a fan of the Yankees as I am, you know, I know names have been thrown out there, Jerry Haston Jr., Raul Ibanez, I even heard Willie Randolph a little bit.
Alex
but
Rodriguez.
You know what? I think Rudy Giuliani should be a bench coach. I mean, listen, when you think about it, you know the team, you know the landscape, you know the organization, you know the Steinbrenners, you know what works. Why can't you be that ear to the next manager?
That would be a dream come true.
How about that, huh?
That would be a dream come true. I'll tell you.
You could still have the law practice. You could still have the law practice and everything else. I think it'd be great. Hey, by the way, were you surprised with Mr. Girardi let go?
Weren't you? I was surprised.
Me too. Yeah. I was.
I saw Girardi. You know, had really done a pretty good job. When you consider, we never expected to be where we were at the end of the year. We were supposed to be the 500 club. He's managed through a lot of injuries. I mean, like, more than his fair share, and done a good job. And it seemed to me the young players responded to him. You know, he had that game where he made the mistake. Hope they didn't exaggerate. And the players responded to that. They really won for him. They kept saying it. So I was surprised.
Well, I still can't get it out of my head, Rudy, the fact that one game. We needed one in Houston, and we would have went to the big dance.
Yeah.
Just one. Give me one game.
Yeah. One game in Houston. But, you know, look, Houston was really good. They went on and won the World
they
Series
did.
pretty effectively, right? I mean, they're a good club. We're going to have to.
And congratulations to them. Really.
We're going to have to deal with them next year.
No question about it. And that city really needed that little bit of a jolt. So that was great to see.
Sure.
On a more serious note, the terror attack last week, I couldn't help but think of you, who guided this city as gracefully as you could possibly guide after 9/11. And then the next attack thereafter, last Tuesday, and it kind of makes you I'm just wondering, Mr. Mayor, your thought process during that dreadful afternoon last Tuesday. Because it was such a sinking feeling. I'm driving around and I see all these news alerts.
Sure.
And I'm putting together the equation, NYPD involved, and I'm saying, oh my goodness, it's come close to home. Immediately I'm thinking maybe somewhere overseas, but no, in our city, once again, what was that mindset of Rudy Giuliani last Tuesday afternoon at around 4 o'clock?
Well, I was, I guess, saying to myself that I expected to happen sooner, and surprised that it hadn't, and kind of ready for it. You know, I know the NYPD has prevented many, many of these, or let's say a number of them. We don't even know about that. We don't even know number that they've prevented, because obviously you can't hold a press conference when you prevent a terrorist attack, right?
True.
And I thought to myself, you know, this is what President Bush used to say. We have to be 100% right, and they have to be only right once. And we have been 100% right until this one time, you know. And I was just upset because here it is in the same area. When you see the pictures on television, those are the places where I was at for months during the recovery from September 11th. Getting out of high school, I mean, and then you get an idea that these people, meaning the Islamic terrorists who want to attack us, they're just as crazy now as they were then. I mean, they haven't stopped.
No question. I even hate to call them lone wolves when you think about it, because they're.
I think that's a terrible mistake that we.
You know, they're part of a cell. We know they're part of a cell. We can't call them.
Of course they are.
You know,
and they're
drives me nuts.
responding. They're all responding to a singular mission, which is jihadism. Dude, that's what they are. They're jihadists. They're part of a large group, a small group. They're attracted. I think the Islamic terrorists even have a name for them. They're sort of self-actualized terrorists. They respond to what's on the web, and then they join in and do it. I mean, one person on TV was saying, you know, lone wolf. My goodness, there've been so many. That makes a pack.
No doubt, no question about it. We are talking with His Honor himself, Rudy Giuliani. He's a former mayor of New York City. Named Time Magazine's Person of the Year, folks, 2001, and for a good reason. Jeff Gill with a question.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I wanted to get your reaction to the federal government's response to the events on Halloween that Jay was referencing. In the wake of the Las Vegas shooting, President Trump, who I know you're a strong supporter of, had mentioned that it was too soon to talk about public policy, meaning gun control, in the wake of the events in Las Vegas. But in the wake of the Halloween attacks in New York City, the president was very quick to talk about the need for extreme vetting and changing the immigration system. Do you think that in both cases that was the right approach to take?
Well, I do, because I think, you know, the first one turned out not to be a classic terrorist attack, right? That really was a situation, right? Who, for reasons we can't even now figure out, decided to shoot all those people in front of a hotel in Las Vegas. The situation here was a specific situation of Islamic terrorism tied to all the others that we've had. The guy was yelling Allah Akbar when he did it. I mean, that alone should tell you that it's connected to Islamic terrorism. I don't know why you'd be confused when a person is yelling Allah Akbar and telling you exactly why he's doing it. He's doing it in the name of Allah. So I think it was appropriate. And I think the kind of measures he's talking about are all sensible measures. They're not the kind of thing that a lot of the Democrats talk about all the time, which is to kind of ban guns and put gun control measures on that can't be really enforced, put gun control measures on that only, well, when you think about it, gun control measures only apply to people who are legitimate people anyway, right? Criminals and terrorists don't respond to gun control. So I think
we've got a little bit of a touchy connection here with His Honor himself, former mayor of New York City.
You hear me now?
Yeah, a little bit better, sir. Go ahead.
Also, you don't want to go too far with this. This isn't a gun situation. This was a situation where you automobile. And it sort of makes the point that those people who oppose gun control make, which is people, if they're going to kill you, they're going to find a way to do it, whether it's a gun, it's an automobile.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And of course, this last incident in this Texas church, you know, you got to wonder, you know, with the Air Force failing to report this individual's domestic violence conviction to the federal database used to conduct background checks on would-be gun purchasers, you know, it would seem to me of such a simple fix that might have been able to avoid 26 deaths and 24 being wounded there. You know, something like that, with all the back and forth, NRA and owning and taking away one's right, but because of a faux pas within the system itself of somebody not reporting the right information. This is what drives you even crazier.
Well, yeah, of course it does. You know, you can't count on gun control because people can make mistakes. And to count on behavior, in the case of Islamic terrorism, identifying it, standing up to it, investigating it, making clear that, you know, for example, we... In New York, unfortunately, several years ago, Mayor de Blasio took the police, if I recall this correctly, out of the mosque, which Mayor Bloomberg had done and I had done. And if I have the facts of this correct, of course, they all come. This murderer, this terrorist, was hanging out in the mosque. So,
you know, yeah, you are correct. Yeah, we're having. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, a little bit. The connection's a little bit a little shoddy, but we're going to get through it, hopefully, here. Maybe if you go to a different area, hopefully, in that regard. But go ahead.
This better?
Yes.
So the fact is this guy that was involved in New York, I don't know, if you had been surveilling the monsters, at least you'd give yourself a chance to catch him in advance.
Sir, you know, and Jeff brought up a pretty good question, the mayor's race, Bill de Blasio. We know it's a dominant state of blue here, but, you know, you look at the opponents involved here, and you only wish that you had a formidable one for Mr. de Blasio, because you're going to tell me that Nicole Miliotakis and Bo Dietl are the right answers here to combat? I don't get it. It just seems like we have been lacking in recent years of really, really getting together a formidable person to get the position.
Well, you know, the fact is that because these elections turn out to be such low turnout, a lot of people don't participate, including candidates that might run. Now, you know, but you got to come down and make a choice between the people you have on the ballot and Maliotakis and is a much better choice than de Blasio. I mean, de Blasio has already had the job. He's proven that he's not a good mayor. And the most recent attack is an example of that. I mean, his reaction to it was confused and confusing. And that's one thing. But his reaction beforehand is confused and confusing. He doesn't see the necessity for surveilling Islamic terrorists. And the reality is that with this kind of attack, you would think we'd want a stronger law enforcement type mayor, and hopefully it'll have that impact.
No doubt about it. And how about his lack thereof of a relationship with the men and women in blue? I mean, it's just not there. To me, that's at the top of the list.
Well, I was at that funeral and wake where the police turned their backs on him. And, of course, the police took a heavy hit for doing that. But, I mean, they did it because these two police officers had been assassinated. The guy had come, if I recall correctly, from Brooklyn, not from Baltimore, and in Brooklyn. It took place in Brooklyn. And he was the one who had been, for no reason really, attacking New York for being discriminatory in the way of police is. And I've never heard of a mayor doing that, attacking his own city. And, I mean, in a way, that put New York on the map. It put New York in that category of suspect places that somebody might want to take retaliatory action, and the guy did. And the police, you know, I agree that you can't do that with a mayor, and I thought they shouldn't do it at the time, but I understood the emotion. My uncle, in fact, five of them were police officers, and they would have turned their backs on him. I wouldn't, I guess, because I was a former mayor, but they would. And that funeral was so tense because the feelings with the family and the police were so high. I've been to so many of those, and I've never seen feelings where people didn't particularly want the mayor there.
And listen, you can make the case. One might not have liked him even in the beginning of his regime when he decided to leave the schools open during a major blizzard. Remember that whole deal, Mr. Mayor, with the buses being...
I don't think the people that support him like him particularly. They all think he's kind of lazy and... doesn't really pay attention to the job. I think if you got the Governor Cuomo alone, and you asked him, Andrew, what do you think of this guy? He'd tell you, wow, he worked for me and I know him best, and he shouldn't be mayor.
No question about it. We are talking with his honor, former
mayor.
But
we got some good people out here in Long Island.
No question. Let's get to these races. What do you think of – I know you're keeping an eye on the sheriff's race. We'll start with that, but some of the other races, very interesting. What do you think of this run for sheriff right now?
Larry, speaking of September 11, I mean, Larry was with me on September 11. He was part of the response. He has tremendous – he's exactly the kind of guy we would want. I mean, like in New York, he's had a law enforcement background. He understands terrorism. In the case of Suffolk County, thank goodness he understands this whole gang issue involved with the El Salvadoran gang, the MI-13. And he's got real knowledge of the whole opioid problem. So you put all that together, the fact that he is a lawyer as well as a law enforcement guy, and this is a perfect choice.
You know,
a professional choice for sheriff, which is the highest law enforcement position in Suffolk County. I mean, he'd be a great candidate for mayor of New York.
You know, Larry.
We should import him.
Larry Zacharys has impressed us here. And, you know, the thing about Larry is, and you can really kind of sum it up by saying this, he doesn't owe anyone any favors. You know, it's interesting, His Honor Rudy Giuliani, in the fact that, you know, you look at these elections now. I mean, think about it. Even when you were, you know, at the top of your game and everything else, and now we're seeing these cross-endorsement deals that really kind of make you scratch your head. You know, Democrats and conservatives are now getting together, and you wonder, is it a rig? Is it not a rig? But this is an interesting guy, and I've always said about Zacharys, I call it the Zacharys effect, because he battled a primary of a well-known state senator who was cross-endorsed every which way, and he got through it. In fact, he got through it so big, his opponent actually conceded at 10 o'clock at night. You know, so that kind of gives you an idea how now voters cannot be fooled. That's key here. And they kind of see the light. When they look at a guy like Zacharys, you know what? This guy's got the credentials. Why can't he? You know what I'm saying?
He's got the credentials. His opponent really doesn't. And right now, we need somebody. We can't take a chance on a political sheriff. We've got significant law enforcement problems in Suffolk County. People all over the county are now feeling it, and I think that's what they responded to. I mean, here people are reading about the terrible crimes committed by MI-13, the opioid crisis, the whole situation with terrorism.
Yeah.
That they have to say to themselves, we need a professional who understands these things in that job. We can't afford a guy who's a political pick. And that's what they've been given. And these cross endorsements, people got to be really careful about this. The reality is that the Conservative Party in Suffolk County is being misused. It's being used as part of a place where you make a political deal. And very often people think, well, the Conservative candidate must be the most conservative candidate. Well, that's not the case now. The Conservative candidate now is the candidate you can say, gee, somebody made a deal with him. And this is the guy we shouldn't vote for. I mean, by any stretch of the imagination, Larry is the more conservative candidate. He should have the conservative line. He doesn't get it because he's not willing to make a deal. The other guy is.
And no question about it. And by the way, there is a reason why 45 states in our union don't play that game of cross endorsements. It's not allowed.
Right.
And you really have to wonder why we play this game. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean, that says it all, right?
Yeah, and then the tail can wag the dog. What happens is that third party, that is the smaller party usually, it almost always is, right? Then they end up deciding the election. That gives the guy who runs it a lot of power. And if he's not a person of strong ideology, in this case conservative ideology, he's going to go even with a very far-left candidate and endorse him because that's the guy who'll make a deal with him.
No question about it, Jeff.
Mr. Mayor, in both Nassau and Suffolk County, we have been ravaged by the indictments and arrests of elected officials for corruption and various other things. And this is something that has been endemic of both Democrats and Republicans. And it's gotten to the point where corruption is now replacing property taxes as the number one off-year issue that voters are facing. Pollsters on both sides of the aisle have made this very, very clear. Do you think it's a good thing if we see an anti-corruption wave in today's elections where folks are finally saying enough is enough and it's time to get people who are independent-minded, fresh faces into government?
No question about it. This is exactly the time to do it, exactly the time to send that message with all of these indictments coming down and one after another. I mean, this is the time where people have to send a message that anti-corruption is very, very important. And in the case of the gentleman we're talking about, Larry Zacharys, this is the time where we look for people with professional qualifications, not necessarily political qualifications, or the one that the third parties are going to get all excited about because they can make deals with them and get stuff out of them. So it is extremely important that we locate people who are honest, honorable, can't be reached, and show by their conduct that they're not going to make these kind of sleazy political deals.
And that's why I think you have, as a wild card, Mr. Mayor, the fact that these propositions are being lined up in fine fashion, and including the one that can strip pensions. You know, it's the judge's decision as far as making sure those pensions are not viable. And I think people have to think real and hard. You know, the whole McDonald statute back in Virginia in the day, the former governor, in the fact of what is an official act, what is not an official act, and thus that transpiring as far as what we've seen from a guy like Sheldon Silver and even here on the island and Dean Skelos, and to have these guys before sentencing get off and now retrials, more money thrown into the mix because of this, I think this is such a well-needed prop to come into play here.
Well, I can't imagine that isn't going to pass, because I can't imagine
that's
any
a no-brainer.
Hard-working taxpayer not saying to himself, I'm not going to give these crooks any more money. They've already stolen enough money. I mean, Sheldon Silver stole so much money over the years that, I mean, there should be an action to get that money back from
him. You're probably right.
I know
$10 million
Sheldon
bucks.
Because I was mayor when he was.
You were right there, yeah.
And I got to tell you, every governor knew he was a crook, too. I mean, and then they wanted to get rid of him, including the Democratic governors. I mean, when you're a crook, your own party knows it. I mean, in his case, Pataki wanted to get rid of him, and Patterson wanted to get rid of him, and Cuomo finally was fortunate enough, and Spitzer, and Cuomo was finally fortunate enough to get rid of him.
And what about this whole thing with the Constitutional Convention? Do you see this as a no-brainer as well? What's your thoughts?
Yes, I do. And I think that it's going to draw a lot of people out, and I think they're going to vote down the convention.
All right, let's get a final question from Mr. Gio here. Sir.
Mr. Mayor, are there any other races that you're watching on Long Island or across
the
country?
I voted in New York City, but I have a home out on Long Island. My wife is the one who got interested in Larry's race. She met Larry, and I know Larry from the old days, yeah. from time when I was mayor. But she's the one who got me involved. But there are a bunch of them that I'm interested in, including the DA's race. I'd always be interested in that as a lawyer, former prosecutor. Really think it's important that we get people out. I really think it's important we get people out so we don't have a low turnout. And then I think it's important that they vote for the most professional candidates. This is the time to vote for professional qualifications, like you're hiring somebody for a job, as opposed to just the usual political stuff.
Rudy Giuliani, whether it be the bench coach or who knows, maybe even the manager.
I think you should go for the big job, Mr. Mayor.
You know, nothing is impossible.
And I'll come on you guys and we can discuss the game.
You know, every Friday I'd have you on.
Instead of this stuff, we could discuss something people, you know, can relax a little about.
Every Friday I'd have you on. We'd have the manager's report or the bench coach's report.
Absolutely. We could talk about how many home runs Judge hit.
You know what? I'm going to put a call into Cashman right after the show. Is that okay?
Just to sit there and watch that guy launch those home runs would be worth the price of admission. Oh, God.
We're getting Tanaka back.
Hey, how about this? You and I sit in the judge's quarters next season.
Yeah.
How about that? Listen,
absolutely.
It is.
It's been a pleasure. It really has.
It's been an honor, His Honor.
After the election, to talk about the results. All right.
Absolutely. Can't wait, Rudy Giuliani.
Thanks, guys.
Pleasure. Absolutely.